We all have those people in our lives that don't like salmon. That's very un-Alaskan, by the way. You know, that's like living in Hawaii and saying you don't like Spam. Or in the Midwest and you detest barbecue, God forbid, right? So that's just one of them. So I could make that. And a chop night involves just finding the right ingredients and the right... And I'm at that point now. I'm kind of proud of myself that I usually have most of the ingredients. You know, whether it's calling for broths or different oils, seasons and spices, I'm loaded. I got most everything I need. So many times I have everything I need to make my own, whether it's a rub or a barbecue sauce or some other sauce. I usually have what I need. I've got certain sauces down. I'm good at gravies and garlic sauces, béarnaise, homemade hollandaise. I love a good hollandaise sauce on the weekend. So I love the chopped aspect of just grabbing whatever you can out of the fridge. As I said, putting on some music and just going to town and cooking. I've learned a lot. I'm kind of self-taught. I would love to take I always say I'm going to take one of Chuck Lemke's classes. I started barbecuing this summer. I got a real smoker. And the mayor, Cruz, has been a huge help because I'm bending his ear every weekend. Oh, I'm doing... A beer can chicken. How do I? Oh, I'm doing ribs. I'm doing, you know, I remember when I first got it, I smoked some salmon. I go, oh, I want to do a brisket. And the mayor like pulled the reins and went, whoa, hold the horses. You got to work your way up to brisket. So apparently I haven't done so. And now it's getting that time of the year where I might not be able to, but we'll see. We'll all see. Welcome to Fairbanks Foodies. I am Glenner Anderson. I'm filling in for the regular host, of course, the mayor, David Peruse, for Fairbanks Foodies. We were talking about chopped and just cooking around the house and finding something. And what are you going to cook for dinner? And then another aspect that I started getting into, I think one of the things we like to do when we go down south is eat, right? We all do. I go to Europe or somewhere, or it's, I think as we get older, it's all about the food. It's like going to the fair, right? When we get older, it's all about the rides. No, the pets. No, it's all about the food for us, right? And that's the same thing when you go down, say, the Midwest or the Deep South or Hawaii or New York or somewhere. It's like, oh, let's go find some restaurants and eat something good, right? And you got to do that, something regional. This spring, I'm going to go to Portugal. I'm very excited just about eating the food, of course. And I think we all like to do that, to get out and try different foods. And then sometimes you go out to like a chain restaurant that we don't have here. And there's a lot, you know, from Olive Garden to Chipotle to all of those. And they all have like some signature dishes I really like. So one of the things I wanted to talk about and share were some of my favorite copycat recipes from some of these restaurants that we don't necessarily have here in Fairbanks. And you don't need to have them. Once you find something at one of these restaurants, you can go online and find the copycat recipe for all of them. I'm going to share some of my favorites with you here on the show on Fairbanks Foodies today, just because. So, here's what I have. I'm going to start with the Chipotle chicken bowls. These are really good. A great combination of smoke and spicy and savory. Whether you cook it in a skillet or on a grill or a grill pan or even an air fryer, the results, they're awesome. And it's a homemade version of items. And of course, like anything, you can go through it and really all you need chicken. You want to get a nice skinless chicken thigh works best. Trim off the fat, boneless, skinless chicken thighs. Some garlic, either minced or crushed some garlic cloves. You can't beat fresh crushed. I do like the jarred mint stuff when I'm in a pinch and I don't have time to peel and smash the garlic or cut it up. I'll cheat and go that way. It still beats the heck out of powdered garlic. Don't just, if you're going to add garlic, go the real thing. That's great if you've got toast, I guess. Some chipotle in adobo sauce. Now, you only need like a tablespoon of the sauce. You can freeze the rest. Another good method is an ice cube tray. Then you can transfer and use them as you need. Ancho chili powder, ground cumin, dried oregano, salt, pepper. You season. First thing you do is you mix all that up. You season the chicken with the salt, pepper on both sides. Combine the garlic and the chipotle in their sauce. The chili powder, cumin, oregano. And you mix it in a bowl. Rub the spice mixture evenly all over the chicken. Let them sit for a few minutes. You can cook them pretty much right away, or even you can refrigerate it as long as overnight if you want to add more flavor. Doesn't take much, as it'll pick up that flavor pretty quick. Then get your skillet. You want to preheat a large skillet or a griddle. Works great, much like they do in the store, over medium-high heat. I also like to really tenderize the chicken first. Pound it out. Get it nice and soft. It just really takes in that juice a little better as well. Cook it for about 6 minutes on each side. Preheat your grill or grill pan. Grease the grill grates if you're going to use a grill. If you're going to use the air fryer, preheat it to about 400. Cook the chicken for like 14 to 15 minutes. But some about the skillet. The grill is fine, but you get that good grill flavor. But the skillet will help retain some of those the spices and the mixtures in them. So I would I prefer skillet or grill over air fryer when I do this. It's pretty good. And then you got the chicken. Then all you need to do is you can add all the side ingredients. Some black beans, some corn. I like to get the larger corn, and I like to fry up the corn a little bit in some smoked paprika and butter and grill the corn kind of. I'll do that and then add that. And you add it in a bowl. And you put your chicken on top. In the bowl, you can have it. Really, you can go nuts. Whatever you like from Chipotle or your favorite, whatever taco night leftovers, shredded lettuce, some chopped up onion, chopped up tomatoes. You can add in some guac. Get some nice guac, however you like your guac, and then you put that nice chicken, cut it up into little cubes or whatever, over the top, and boom, you have a Chipotle bowl. Just like on TV. How cool is that? So that's something to think about. Coming up, that's one of them. That's the Chipotle Chicken Bowl. Up next, my next favorite. Now, here's one, too, from something we actually have in town. And that would be KFC. There's one thing people will rave about with KFC. I'm not a big KFC guy. Fried chicken. I love fried chicken. But KFC's, it's okay. It's all right. But the one thing that people talk about is their slaw. There's something, and there's a great copycat. Right? If you want, you're like award-winning, if you want KFC slaw, oh, this one is really good. And it's very easy as well. Extremely easy. Now, if you've been there, chances are, of course, you've tasted the famous slaw. It's a summertime favorite, but it's good any time of year. And it's pretty easy. I like to use the green cabbage for this slaw. I'm more of a Napa cabbage guy. But this one, if you want to mimic the KFC coleslaw as closely as possible, you also can't beat the price if you prefer, because a red cabbage and a mix of both would be delicious here as well. While you can chop your cabbage, if you have a food processor, that really helps. It gives that coleslaw texture you get at KFC rather than just chopping it by hand. First, I might rough chop the cabbage and then just pulse it in the food processor a few times. That works like a charm. And then what really makes it stand out, the creamy dressing. The other thing that you want to chop up is the carrots as well in with the slaw. And then you want to make that creamy dressing. You want to use real buttermilk. Some fresh lemon. You're going to do that. Now, for years, I disliked coleslaw because I wasn't a fan of the dressings. They were either too heavy on the mayo or too sweet. I always skipped the slaw and brought pasta salad to outdoor potlucks instead. But with this one, okay, this is just so much better. It's that creamy buttermilk flavor. Sweetness. Balance it out. So it's pretty easy to mix with everything. So the recipe, because I have the ingredients, you want some minced onion some shredded carrot and the chopped cabbage. And then you're going to want a third of a cup of sugar, a half a cup of mayonnaise, quarter cup of buttermilk, quarter cup of milk, 2.5 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1.5 tablespoons of white vinegar, half a tablespoon of salt, about the same of pepper. Those are, of course, how you might like, you know, you, those are, you, some people will put more, some people put less. So you, in a bowl, you mix together the milk, the mayo, the sugar, the lemon juice, the vinegar. Then you add in the onion, carrots, and cabbage with the salt and pepper that you had already chopped up earlier. Cover, let it chill in the fridge 2 hours. Boom! You got some slaw. That's pretty good. That sounds good, doesn't it? That's some quality slaw. All right. On the other side of the break, I've got a feature I do on my radio show on X-Rock every week. It's called the Foodie Roundup. It's just a segment about the latest in food news. We're going to do that and share another copycat recipe for you or two. Coming up next, Fairbanks
Foodies. Attention gluten haters. Finding a place to go out and eat can often be a chore. Well, now you've got a place to enjoy a great gluten-free meal at Ivory Jack's for Gluten-Free Thursdays. Complete with gluten-free lasagna or gluten-free deep-fried halibut. Or swing by any day for gluten-free pizza, burgers, and sandwiches. Even a fine selection of gluten-free beers on hand. So you can eat great and feel great. Thanks to Ivory Jack's in the heart of the Goldstream Valley. Ivory Jack's, where the people are unusual and the parking is always gluten-free.
It's great to be able to enjoy our favorite local restaurants once again. And you can thank the folks at Quality Sales Food Service. Even during the toughest of times, they were making sure local eateries had the food and supplies needed to keep their businesses open. Quality Sales Food Service, Interior Alaska's number one food supplier, teaming up with Gold Bond Marketing, have allowed them to buy in volume and keep prices low, which helps keep your dinner costs low as well. That's Quality Sales Food Service, the food suppliers for your favorite restaurants. Online at qualitysales.net. Fairbanks Foodies, brought to you by the folks at Venue and Fairbanks Beer, located right downtown across from Golden Heart Plaza. More than just beer, wine, and spirits, as they also serve breakfast and lunch with coffee and delicious breakfast burritos and more. Or for lunch, try slow-roasted pork sandwiches, soft pretzels, hand-tossed pizzas, and more. Don't forget to plan your next get-together or event at Venue on 2nd Avenue right next door, opening at 9 a.m. Tuesday through Sunday. That's Fairbanks Beer and Venue, making downtown Fairbanks awesome. Awesome. Rat Pack Cigar on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West, with the largest selection of cigars in Alaska and an awesome tasting room where you can kick back and enjoy a smoke with your friends in comfy leather chairs watching the game on a big screen. That's Rat Pack Cigar, with an incredible humidor filled with almost 150 varieties of cigars of the highest quality. Rat Pack Cigar, open 11 to 7, 7 days a week on Old Airport Road near Fred Meyer West. It's the all-new Rat Pack Cigar.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
And welcome back. Good to have you here on Fairbanks Foodies. As I had mentioned, every week on my radio show on X-Rock 95.9, I do a segment called The Foodie Roundup. And it's all the latest in food news from this week. You want to see what that's like? Well, here was this week's Foodie Roundup. Up here! All right, let's start with you coffee drinkers. Did you jump out of bed excited to take on the day? Or did you just get up because it's the only way to get to that first cup of coffee in your face? Well, more than 80% of coffee drinkers say looking forward to that first cup of coffee motivates them to get out of bed each day. They look forward to it. More than people who drink iced coffee. Oh, yeah. Really? Stop that. Around half of us have tried to recreate a fancy coffee drink from a place like Starbucks. But in the perfect world, I will let the baristas do it. Survey also found that if we had to give up coffee or social media, most would not give up their morning coffee. I'll ditch social media in a heartbeat. And forget all the food. Just go with black coffee, right? Once you go black and... anyway. Hey, the McRib is back. Yay, after their farewell tour. Wait a minute. Yeah, because of the McRib had a farewell tour in 05, 06. They brought it back in 07 anyway. They did it again last year. And the McRib aficionados were skeptical about last year's farewell tour. It turns out they were right. They brought it back. It's everywhere. The McRib. It's not really rib. It's, I don't know what it is. Applebee's famous Dollarita is back on the menu. It's a $1 margarita, and they say it tastes just like you'd expect a $1 margarita to. We don't really have that store. Oh, here's some news you may not have known about. If you're getting your dietary advice from TikTok, so are a lot of people, but you might want to stop. The Washington Post did a big story on why their advice cannot be trusted. The FTC has regulations for this stuff. If you're being paid to back a certain stance, you're supposed to disclose it, but not everyone does. Three reporters looked at TikTok videos from 68 different dietitians, 33 of them with combination 11 million followers, and said they were only upfront about half of the time. For instance, the World Health Organization says this summer that aspartame, which is in a lot of diet sodas, might be not be totally safe. But yeah, so a lot of them, yeah, just don't trust TikTok for your dietary needs. Would you people, come on, they're really TikTok? Have you ever tried to pretend to like a meal to avoid hurting someone's feelings? 70% of us have. 64% of people say food is their love language. The most romantic food to share: cookies, ice cream, milkshakes, or pizza. Kraft mac and cheese bringing back its popular SpongeBob SquarePants mac and cheese. Panera is jumping out on the viral Roman Empire TikTok phenomenon with the launch of new Roman Empire menu. Four of the highest ranked fast food chains in the U.S. In-N-Out Burger, Bibimbap Asian Grill, Blaze Pizza, Raising Cane. We have none of those. New Orleans named top food city in the U.S. for the second year, followed by New York, Chicago, third. McDonald's is adding two new sauces, Mambo and Sweet and Spicy Jam. Mambo, I guess it's popular in D.C. or something. So which has the fastest drive-thru? Taco Bell. But Chick-fil-A's is the most accurate, if you're wondering. 69% of Americans say pizza is great breakfast food. I don't blame them there. Girl Scout cookies are going to cost more this year thanks to inflation. There'll be a box, $6 a box, up from $5. And for Halloween, Frozen Pizza Tombstone is running a contest where anybody named Jason will get a free pizza. That means you, Jason. It's your foodie roundup. Yeah! So there you go. I do that every week, a different one. I keep telling Prue's, hey, you got to play my foodie roundup. It's just the latest weirdness in food news. And we've got Halloween coming, so, you know, that's always fun. I'm sure I'll get Dave to do a Halloween show here on the foodie round, on the Fairbanks Foodies. You know, we got to do one at least about favorite candies. And I can remember doing some Halloween parties for my kids. We did a Fear Factor party for my daughter. And we had the, the styrofoam head, where you may use olives and pimentos for the eyes, and then you use just lunch meat smothered all over him, held on with cream cheese. It looks really weird. We did the, it was the cat box cake. Have you done that one? Where it looks like you buy an actual cat box and you put cake in it, but it's on top, you're using the crumbs, and it looks just like kitty litter. And then you have rolled up Tootsie Rolls that you lay around like they're little things of cat poop, and you actually have it served with the cat scooper thing. Yeah, try that if you dare. That's a great one. We did the fake fingers, and we did some brain foods, and it was pretty cool. So I'm sure we're going to have to do a show on that one at some time. But back to what we were talking about earlier, and that was, of course, we were talking about copycat recipes. And I've got a couple of my favorites that I've shared with you, but there's a couple others. One of the places I used to always eat because my folks loved it, and they would winter in Arizona, and we would go there every time, and that was Olive Garden. You know, you slam it. It's not real Italian food, but some of their meals stood out and were just spectacular, you know, because they had a recipe, they had it down. And their chicken parm, It's fantastic. So I had to learn how to make the Olive Garden chicken parm. And it's a great meal. And it looks good. And you serve it over, like some curly noodles and what have you. It's really good. So the chicken parm, it may not be an authentic Italian dish. It's a mainstay of Italian-American cuisine, right? But it's awesome. Crispy breadcrumb coating helps it gives it that crunchy outtake, but that coating also helps keep that chicken extra moist and flavorful on the inside. Oh, so good. Let's see, the marinara sauce. To make it, you'll, of course, the chicken breast, boneless, skinless chicken breast. Again, I like to tenderize those a bit. Some salt, ground pepper, all-purpose flour, eggs, water. The breadcrumbs, I like these, some Parmesan cheese. Finely grated, they'll say the powder. I don't like the powder stuff. I like the finely grated, not the bigger grated stuff, but the finely grated. Some vegetable oil, I liked using in this one. I also like using avocado oil. Make sure to check, though, because remember, these oils heat up at different temperatures. So when you're using different, for instance, peanut oils and vegetable oils and olive oil, I cook a lot with olive oil. For this one, I would probably use olive or even avocado oil, but you do have to be careful of that. Some shredded mozzarella cheese as well. The Italian breadcrumbs are a type of flavored crumb. You can also use regular breadcrumbs or panko even. I like the Italian stuff, but I like using a panko and adding my own Italian herbs and seasonings because sometimes the stuff that's already pre-mixed as the seasoned Italian herb breadcrumbs, I don't know. I just like the panko better and adding my own stuff. So, and that way you can add whatever you want. The marinara sauce is you can cheat and just use regular marinara because that takes the longest time is making that. You want to cut the chicken in half horizontally. Place each half of the chicken breast between two sheets of plastic wrap. Use a flat side. Tenderize them. Season the chicken with a little salt and pepper on both sides. You don't have to go nuts. You really don't. Not on that. Repeat it with the rest of the chicken. Coat a pounded chicken cutlet in the flour. Shake off the excess, dip it, the flour-coated chicken in the egg mixture, then coat it with the breadcrumbs and the Parmesan cheese. Place the breaded cutlet on a wire rack. It's good to put it on a wire rack over, that way the bottom doesn't get soggy. If you have a nice wire rack that you can put on like a cookie sheet, it'll keep the bottom from getting soggy. You want as much crispness around this dish as possible. And with those cutlets all out there, it's very good. All right. So let the breaded chicken rest for about 5 minutes. Resting the chicken, it'll allow the breading to adhere and it'll help prevent it from falling off while frying, depending on how you're cooking it. So you want to make sure to keep it elevated and give it about 5 minutes at least. A lot of people will like put the breading on it, throw it in. It's like, whoa, sailor, take your time a little bit on that one, would you? Okay. While the chicken is resting, heat up a deep skillet over medium heat. Add some vegetable oil. Use a clip-on fry thermometer to check the temperature. You want the oil to reach about 350. Now remember, depending on the oil, it's going to do so quicker times or get there too hot. Cook the chicken in batches of two or three pieces until it's golden brown. Use an instant read thermometer. Check the internal temperature. Everybody gets freaked out about chicken. Oh, I need to make sure it's okay. And it's hard to tell. I'm much better with steaks and nailing that than I am with chicken. It's so easy. There's such a thin line between chicken that's not cooked enough and chicken that's really dry. Your window there is a short one. Cook the chicken in batches, like two or three pieces. Don't put it all in there and cram it in there. Give it all lots of room. Repeat, though, with the remaining cutlets. Preheat the oven to 350. Now, while the oven is preheating, warm the marinara sauce over low, medium heat on the stove. Now, marinara sauce, you can make your own if you want. I could get into that. We could talk about chopping up the onions to making on your own, or just cheat. Just buy some marinara. Find your everybody has their favorite marinaras. Or call Pruce. He'll make you some. Place the chicken in a layer on the baking dish. You want to bake it for about 5 to 10 minutes or until the cheese melts. Garnish with topped parsley. And you want to serve it immediately. You have your marinara sauce. The best, what I like to do is it pairs well with the pasta, a simple tomato-based sauce. So good. Now, that you can do variations. You can do a grilled chicken parm. Save the fat and calories if you want. Serve it on a toasted roll with the marinara sauce. You can almost like dip it like a hearty chicken parm sub, or make the perfect appetizer, you know, with along with some breadsticks. Yeah, because, you know, it's after all, that's an Olive Garden thing. What? Breadsticks? We need more breadsticks. Got to have the breadsticks. So that's something to check out. So that is the chicken parm Olive Garden recipe, if you want to make that little cheat one. Now, remember, if you didn't get all this, this show is put online, and it'll be up by next, usually the following Friday. So next Friday, it will be on the archive page. That way you can look up the recipes, and you could listen to this and pause it where you need to. And go back and listen to some of the past episodes. I have done it many times and went back and listened to some of my favorite episodes to find out what I wanted to cook. And that's one good way of doing it right there. So something to check. You can go back and look. And there, a lot of them are listed. Some of his barbecue ones, Alfredo sauce. He's done scallops. I mean, you name it. There's so many cool recipes, and they're mostly listed. So if you go on to KFARradio.com, click on the archive page, go down to Fairbanks Foodies, you're going to see all the shows over the past couple of years. You listen to any and all of them, and you're going to get some great recipes just like the one I gave you here today. I mean, I'm looking over. I just went onto the website, and I'm looking some of them, some of the past shows. Here's one, July 21st, Beef Wellington. You want to learn how to make Beef Wellington, Chicken Normandy. That one was in July as well. Let's find some other good ones. Chicken in a sherry sauce. Tomahawk steak. Oh, that one sounds good. Homemade pasta. Chicken marsala. Pork tenderloin piccata. Scallops. Chicken and mushrooms. Steak sandwiches. French onion soup and tri-tip sandwich. I'm going back a ways. A Study in Moist Chicken. That's a great show right there. Here's a one pot French Chicken Normandy, the Seafood Show, the Burger Show, the Steak Show. Man, some of these are great. They're really good. Pasta in Kimchi. Oh, that's a good one. Gary and Chuck joined him for that show. Tri-tip slider sandwiches and how to make the perfect steak. I learned from that episode. That one was a great one. Let's see. Here's some holiday foods, outlaw tamales, French sandwich making. There's a ton of shows on here. And then a bunch of your favorite restaurants, from Bobby's Downtown to House of Fire Pizza, Lavelle's. They're all on there. Gavora's Fine Wine did a nice interview talking about some Thai food in here. I remember the Christmas cocktail show. They were all fantastic. So some of the things you might want to check out. And again, all you need to do is go to KFARradio.com. Now, you might already be listening to this show, as they're kind of in numerical order. We have the show with Alaska Lizzie in there as well. The fettuccine Alfredo and shrimp dish from just a while back. Chicken piccata and Hungarian mushroom soup. I make a great Hungarian mushroom soup, I might add. But those are just past shows that you can look up and listen to anytime. And remember, some of our other wonderful shows we have during the day as well, like Health Talk and The Buzz and Alaska Realty Today, Craig and the Compos Outdoor Show, all locally produced, local experts talking about local stuff. And nobody does that better than KFAR Radio. Wanting to thank you for joining us today. We had a great time. Thank you, Dave, for letting me fill in for you today as well. He'll be back next week with a brand new Fairbanks Foodie show just for you guys. And I'll be back with another Foodie Roundup on X-Rock Radio. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Fairbanks Beer, Ivory Jack's, Rat Pack Cigar, and Quality Food Sales.